Welcome once again, my friends, to Whitby Online Worship, and we're so happy you could join us today. Our prayer today is that as we worship together, your hearts will be blessed and encouraged. May God bless you as we worship today.
Spill my heart as an offering.
One day a Pharisee named Simon invited Jesus to be a guest for a meal. Picture this. Just as Jesus enters the man's home and takes his place at the table, a woman from the city, notorious as a woman of ill repute, follows him in. She has heard that Jesus will be at the Pharisee's home, so she comes in and approaches him. Carrying an alabaster flask of perfumed oil, she then begins to cry. She kneels down so her tears fall upon Jesus' feet, and she starts wiping his feet with her own hair. Then she actually kisses his feet and pours the perfumed oil on them.
And Simon says, "Now I know this guy is a fraud. If he were a real prophet, he would have known this woman is a sinner, and he would have never let her get near him, much less touch him or even kiss him."
Simon, I want to tell you a story. Two men owed a certain lender a lot of money. One owed 100 weeks' wages and the other one owed 10 weeks' wages. Both men defaulted on their loans, but the lender forgave them both. Now here's a question for you. Which man will love the lender more?
Well, I guess it would be the one who was forgiven more.
Good answer. Now, Jesus turns around, so he's facing the woman. Although she's still speaking, he's still speaking to Simon. Simon, do you see this woman here? It's kind of funny. I entered your home and you didn't provide a basin of water so I could wash the road dust from my feet. You didn't give me the customary kiss of greeting and welcome. You didn't offer me the common courtesy of providing oil to brighten my face. But this woman has wet my feet with her own tears. She's washed them with her own hair. She hasn't stopped kissing my feet since I came in. And she has applied perfume oil to my feet. This woman has been forgiven much, and she is showing much love. But the person who has shown little love shows how little forgiveness he has received. Woman, your sins are forgiven.
Simon, muttering, says, "Who does this guy think he is? He has the audacity to claim the authority to forgive sins?"
Woman, your faith has liberated you. Go in peace.
Lord, I come, I confess, bowing here, I find my rest. Without you, I fall. Comes my way, and when
When I cannot stand, I'll fall on you. Jesus, you're my hope and stay. Lord, I need you.
As we follow the steps of Jesus to Easter, I invite you to a dinner party at the home of Simon of Bethany. As we consider the window of forgiveness, we need to linger for a few moments to understand the great love of a wonderful Savior that was lavished not only on this woman who appeared at the dinner, but others in those days, and the love that is poured out for countless others in our day. We are here just a few days before the betrayal and crucifixion of Jesus, as he is fully aware of the path that he will walk. Even in the face of tragedy and death, Jesus is intent on teaching, serving, breaking barriers, and bringing salvation. Picture this in your mind's eye. As was the custom in those days, it is highly likely that Jesus is reclining on his side at the table of Simon. And as Luke describes for us, the woman was standing behind Jesus at his feet and crying. The Message paraphrase of this account describes the scene as raining tears on his feet. The woman was accustomed to the sneers and secret conversations that happened when she appeared in any setting. She was labeled. She was not invited to the dinner, but showed up there. She made her way through the gathered guests to the master's feet. Despite the disapproval of the people present at the dinner party, she showed up and proceeded to demonstrate her love for the Savior, who at some point in time changed her life. At this moment, she is expressing her love for his forgiveness in her life. She is expressing what has happened to her by the breaking of the chains that once had her bound. She was weeping profusely, and the tears fell on Jesus' feet. She wiped his feet with her hair, kissed his feet, and anointed them with ointment. Some present at the dinner would declare this as a shocking behavior, and perhaps a little awkward for those watching the events unfold. Everyone at the dinner is aware that this woman is a prostitute, a lady of the evening. Consider for a moment who is present at the dinner event. I picture there, as we gaze through this window of Easter, the spectators, the invited guests, those who sneered when the lady of the evening seemingly crashed the dinner party. One could almost hear them as they turned their attention to this sinner woman, declaring, "Look what the cat dragged in." Those who are now privy to the display of affection being demonstrated towards Jesus were those spectators who were critical of her behavior. We see at this dinner event the cynic, Simon, a Pharisee, one of the separated ones, a religious leader. We see Jesus addressing Simon's questioning mind and challenging him with a story of forgiveness. Without saying any word out loud, but thinking it in his head and heart, Jesus read those secret thoughts of Simon. When Jesus speaks to Simon, he rebukes the line of thinking that Simon is entertaining. If this man was a prophet, thinks Simon, he would truly know who this woman is and with whom he is speaking. Jesus proves himself to be a prophet, not by discerning the morals of the woman, but by discerning the mind of the host. He clears up the confusion in Simon's mind with a story about forgiveness. One might ask, why should such a man invite Jesus to his house at all? There are three possible reasons. It is just possible that he was an admirer and a sympathizer of Jesus, for not all the Pharisees were Jesus' enemies. We read that in Luke chapter 13. But the whole atmosphere of discourtesy makes that unlikely. It could be that Simon had invited Jesus with the deliberate intention of enticing him into some word or action which might have been a reason for him to be arrested. Simon may have been an agent provocator. Again, it is not likely. Simon gives Jesus the title rabbi, so there is an element of respect. Most likely, Simon was a collector of celebrities. He had invited this startling young Galilean to have dinner with him at his home. That would best explain the strange combination of a certain respect with the omission of the usual courtesies. Simon was a man who tried to patronize Jesus. We see at this dinner party the sinner, the one who interrupted the gathering, so to speak. Called by the people as a sinner, an immoral woman, a prostitute. In Luke's account of this event, she is unnamed, and based on other accounts in the gospel, it is believed that this could have been Mary Magdalene, whom Jesus met earlier in his ministry. Why did the woman put herself through all of this? Why did she crash that dinner party? Surely she knew that her appearance would scandalize the host and his guest. She not only risked being thrown out of the party in the house or possibly arrested, but risked the one thing that would have crushed her completely, the rejection of Jesus. She was used to the sneers of the Pharisees and the others. She could handle that, but she could not have coped with having Jesus turn away from her. Her love for him was great. She came not to receive, but to give. Not only is she one of the most courageous people in the Bible, she is one of the most unselfish. She poured out what was most precious to her. Poor as she must have been, she had purchased an alabaster flask of expensive ointment, which no doubt represented months of savings from what many would have regarded as her ill-gotten gains. She brought the perfume as a love offering to Jesus and poured it on his feet. Jesus did not turn cold eyes on her. He did not condemn her. Instead, he used her bold action to teach his dinner host a lesson about forgiveness. It may be that the woman who washed Jesus' feet had seen him showing love to the unlovely people around him. It may be that this woman and her love that opened up for Jesus for the first time would have been her experience of reckless love and experience of forgiveness. Her love for Jesus made her risk everything. And so Jesus says of her, "Her many sins have been forgiven, for she loved much." But this was not the end of it. Jesus told the woman, "Your faith has saved you. Go in peace." That word of blessing is possible for each of us as well. Hear it again as you come to the table. Your faith has saved you. Go in peace. And present at this dinner party by invitation is Jesus, the Savior. As we read through the New Testament stories of Jesus and his ministry, we discover that many who came to Jesus knew exactly what they wanted and asked for it. Sight for blind eyes, hearing for deaf ears, healing for all sorts of illnesses. But this woman, she asked for nothing. She had nothing to gain by her display of attention and affection. She came not to receive, but to give. Not only is she one of the most courageous people in the Bible, she is one of the most unselfish. As I considered this story, I couldn't help but wonder, might this be a foreshadowing of the gathered crowd around the cross? The spectators? Those who gambled for his clothing? The cynic? Those who cried out, "He saved others, himself he cannot save." The sinner, you and me. And then the Savior who cried out, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they are doing." He lavished forgiveness on the woman. He spoke to Simon of forgiveness in a story. On the cross, he prayed for forgiveness for others. This story demonstrates a contrast between two attitudes of mind and heart. We have Simon, who was conscious of no need and therefore felt no love, and so received no forgiveness. Simon's impression of himself was that he was a good man in the sight of men and of God. The woman was conscious of nothing else other than her deep need of a Savior, and therefore was overwhelmed with love for the one who could supply that need, and so received forgiveness. As we move on from this window of Easter, I see three pictures to reflect on. Think for a moment of that dinner party in Bethany, and think of the lessons that we can glean from that story. As children of God, we have the capacity to change the environment we find ourselves in by becoming the aroma of Christ. Our lives, when poured out in service, will have eternal impact. The identity of this woman is not confirmed. We don't know who she is in this scripture. What is confirmed is the value of the act of love offered to Jesus and the power of forgiveness in a person's life. The act of love and devotion brought joy and delight to the Savior and forgiveness to the woman. She made a difference. She interrupted the environment of the status quo. As a result, she found forgiveness for her sins, salvation for her soul, and peace for her heart. The woman brought what she had to Jesus, a broken life, a broken bottle of perfume that defined her, perhaps a bottle that was used to lure men to her when she was working the streets. In this case, she broke open this bottle of perfume, and it was used in worship of Jesus. It is the ageless invitation to grace and mercy. And I was reminded of a very old song as I thought about this woman bringing her brokenness to Jesus. And part of the verses of the song says, "Here, bring your wounded heart. Here, tell your anguish. Earth has no sorrow that heaven cannot heal." What a wonderful assurance is ours. Another lesson we can take from this story is we can make a difference as we worship Jesus. She gave her best as an offering. We worship him in the face of all of life's situations, no matter what comes our way. In our worship of him, he accepts our offering. Jesus declared to the woman, "Your faith has saved you. Go in peace." Her act of worship, her broken and poured out offering, brought healing to her. It was reckless love. She did not count the cost. She gave everything she had and everything that she was that day to the Master. Perhaps her testimony would be the words of the psalmist who writes in Psalm 103, "The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love. He will not always accuse, nor will he harbor his anger forever. He does not treat us as our sins deserve or repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us." A broken life made whole, a Savior who loves totally. Those around us who would cast judgment, Jesus will forgive. The depth of his forgiveness is great. The debt of my sin is great. And so we come to a Savior who can make us complete.
Are lifted to you.
everything I've been through. Use it for your glory, Lord. I offer my days to you, lifting my praise to you as a pleasing sacrifice.
Lord, I offer you my life.